access to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
God's not interested in making us feel happy or good about ourselves. He wants to make us holy. And sometimes that's hard, isn't it? You know, all of a sudden something comes to the surface in our lives that we don't like to deal with. God says, you need to let that go. It's because he loves us. You see, as the church moves away from this idea that sin is bad, it's like a cancer and it infiltrates the church. And where do you draw the line? Where do you say, well, this is right, but no, this one's wrong? Well, wait, if this is right, why is this one wrong? You see, you have no place to stand anymore because you've taken yourself out of the Word of God and you're deciding what's right and what's wrong. We don't have that option. We do not have an option to say, I like this, but I don't like that. It'd be nice, but it wouldn't be helpful for us. Again, think about parents. We want the best for our children. And there are things that they want to do that are not healthy for them. So we protect them by telling them, no, you can't do that. Doesn't our Heavenly Father do that with us? It's kind of simple. He wants what's best. It's not like God's up there, let's see if I can ruin Joe's day today. Are you kidding me? God loved me when I was a sinner. Do you think he's trying to hurt me? No, he's trying to grow me, to make me more like him. Look at verse 12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. Remember the prayer they prayed in Acts 4:29 and 30. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. God answered that prayer here. He worked in and through these dear saints in a powerful way. And I do not believe that this is just for the first century church. Many feel that way because they, you know, needed some help to get the church started. Once it was started, that power is not needed anymore. And so we have programs and seminars. We have this, we have that, and we lack the power to move the gospel message forward. Don't you think the church needs the power to move the gospel message forward today? Absolutely. We need to pray that God gives us the boldness to speak forth his word and that his spirit would give to us the things we need to bring people to saving faith. And I love that they were all with one accord. They were all together. And we see such a disunity in the church today because why? Our selfish hearts, our stubborn minds are harder to move than any mountain sometimes. It's about us instead of the body of Christ. One of the things that it kind of blew me away at Pat Smith's funeral service is when her son came up here and he wanted to thank all the people that helped Pat out over the last 2 years. And he's not a believer, okay? But what he said blew me away. He said, I want to thank you because you showed what the body of Christ is really all about. Wow. I mean, I was almost in tears. Thank you, Lord, that people see the love we have for others. There should be that unity there. Now, here in chapter 5, here we're told that in verse 13 that there were some that were afraid to join them. You think, well, that's bad, huh? Well, no, not necessarily. This was helping to purify the church. You know, when things are going well, everyone wants to jump on the bandwagon. You don't have to be saved. You just want to be part of it because things are happening. Today, what we've done in the church many times is we've opened the door for the unsaved to come pouring into the church, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when it becomes wrong is that when we start to water down the gospel message, we water down the word of God, because we don't want to offend unbelievers. Don't you want to see them saved? You're going to offend them. They're going to hear that they're sinners separated from God and that they need a Savior. Isn't that what it's all about? But now we don't want to offend anyone. And who's sitting in the seats then? Are there unsaved people filling the churches? That's wrong. That's not how you build the church. God builds the church. And think about it. It kept people out. You know, our relationship with the Lord, we need to take seriously. It's not a game, and people need to understand that. Allowing people to continue in sin in the church so they don't leave is wrong. And if you do that, you're just saying that you don't love that person. Think about it. Would you let your child continue, say, with drugs? Because, you know, you don't want to offend them. You want to love them. I'm just going to accept you like you are, and I'm not going to tell you that drugs are wrong. I'm not going to try and help you. That's not love. In fact, you really hate them because you're seeing their lives destroyed. You love them when you say, you know what? I love you so much that I want you off those drugs, and I will do anything possible to help you. That's true love. But in the body of Christ, we're afraid to do that. We want to make people feel comfortable as they live in sin. I told you before, years ago when I was back in Chicago, my pastor, there was a couple in the church, two couples actually, and the spouse from each of those marriages started dating and having sexual relations with the other one. Pastor Phil found out about it. And he called them out. He said, you got to stop this now. You can't continue in this. And you know what they did? They left the church. And they went to another church, a bigger church. And Pastor Phil cared about them. And he called up the church and he said, you know, here's the thing. You know, this is what's going on. I just want to make you aware because they're on the run from God. And they need to deal with this. Wasn't even dealt with anymore. It's hard. I'll share this article with you, and I think you'll see what I mean. It was written July 4th, 2017, so it's really relevant to what I'm saying here. It says this, in the 1970s, however, a shift began to take place. In an effort of make church relevant, pastors tried different techniques to get people to come in the doors. One pastor went so far as to do a survey where he asked people what kind of church they would want to attend. Using that information, he set out to build a church that unchurched people would attend. Rather than call them to repentance as Peter did, this built the church on the principles and desires of unregenerate people. The goats started coming into churches and crowding out the sheep. Churches began all kinds of activities to keep the goats coming in so they could pay the bills. This is not new to our time. Charles Spurgeon recognized this trend more than a century ago. An evil is in the professed camp of the Lord, so gross in its impudence that the most short-sighted can hardly fail to notice it during the past few years. It has developed at an abnormal rate, even for evil. It has worked like leaven until the whole lump ferments. The devil has seldom done a cleverer thing than hinting to the church that part of their mission is to provide entertainment for the people with a view to winning them. Isn't that interesting? He said that. I wonder what he would say today. The article goes on. Churches today go to great lengths to get people to come into their buildings trying to win them. They have contests and entertainment, concerts, clowns, drama, motivational speaking, life enhancement sermons, and entertainment evangelism where they discuss popular television programs from the 60s, but they are afraid to preach the gospel for fear of offending the goats. Spurgeon said, providing amusement for the people is nowhere spoken of in the scriptures as a function of the church. Christ said to go into the world and preach the gospel, not to placate the goats so they'll feel comfortable. Spurgeon, commenting on the crowds leaving Jesus in John 6, I do not hear him say, run after these people, Peter, and tell them we will have a different style of service tomorrow, something short and attractive with little preaching. We will have a pleasant evening for the people. Tell them that they will be sure to enjoy it. Be quick, Peter. We must get the people somehow. That's today. That's what's going on. Spurgeon talked about it. It was a warning. and we didn't listen. He goes on, using carnal means to attract people only attracts carnal people. Whatever you use to get people into your church, you will have to top next time to get them to come back. You will continually have to outdo yourself to keep entertaining the goats because they are not coming for the right reasons. The church cannot compete with the world on the same level because it lacks the financial resources that the entertainment world has. So we come off as cheap imitation. And how true that is. You got to keep upping the ante. I remember several years ago, there was these two large churches, and they were competing over Christmas. You know, who was going to have the better Christmas pageant? You know, the Christmas show. And, you know, you got the live, you know, cannibals and animals and all that. And this one, they decided that they were going to have the angel strung up from the ceiling and kind of flying in. It was going to outtop everyone. And I think it did. Because as he came in, he started to spin. And spin faster and faster. And he got very sick. And he showered the people. Not with love. Okay? He outdone the other church. They did. What are you going to do? I'm telling you, if you don't have a hunger to know God's word, to worship him, to be in fellowship with the brethren, and this is the place that God has called you to be, then what's the point? Why are you here, right? I mean, you have to evaluate, is this where God has called me to be? And if he hasn't, I hope it is, but if he hasn't, you need to find the place where God has called you. That is so important. Well, lastly, the last paragraph of this. Pity the poor sheep of the church who languish and go without food as the pastor runs off trying to amuse the goats so they will come back. Sheep need feeding and tending, but many are starving spiritually. Pastors need to return to tend the flock that God gave them and quit trying to appease the goats who will only be separated from the sheep at the judgment. Remember Paul Washer's words. If you use carnal means to attract people, you will only attract carnal people. Man, he hits the nail on the head. And this is flooding into the church today. I know, you know, with one of the radio programs we have on the air on Saturdays and Sundays, in Minnesota, they talk about people constantly writing them saying, there are no churches around us that are teaching from the Bible anymore. They don't teach verse by verse anymore. That's tragic, guys. God's word is living and powerful, not my stories and jokes. God's word is living and powerful. We need to keep that in mind. And it's interesting that the church wants to build self up today. And what does the Bible say? Crucify the flesh. Isn't that interesting? The Bible says to crucify it, and the devil says build it up. God does it. How did the early church grow? Well, look at here in Acts 5. Look at verse 14. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. And a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Remember what we read in Acts 5. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things, yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. Yeah, there was fear. This was serious, and yet the church was growing. The people knew it was a serious thing to be a Christian, but we see that the Spirit of God kept moving with power, and the believers were added to the Lord. Wait a minute. They weren't added to Calvary Chapel or this denomination or that denomination. No, that's not how it works. They're added to the Lord. And they counted the cost. They were willing to surrender and follow him. They were true believers. Now, it's easy to kind of get that narrow view of things and thinking we're building up Calvary Chapel. No, it's building up the kingdom of God. I guarantee you, there is no little place in heaven where it says, you know, Calvary Chapel of Manitowoc meets here. No, it's the body of Christ. It's the bride of Christ coming together, worshiping the Lord. We're all together. Now, this is a tough one for many. We see the shadow of Peter healing people. Well, Peter's shadow didn't heal people. The Lord did. But it says Peter's shadow. Well, I think the shadow of Peter created a point where their faith was released. You know, the moment his shadow fell, it seems like they were healed. So, you know, it wasn't about Peter's shadow. I think it was about their faith. God is sovereign whom he heals. Not all are healed. We see that. We've seen that over the past week and a half or so. Three funerals. Death happens. Let me give you an example of this point of faith where it was released in someone. The woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years, I believe it was, and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment and she was healed. That was the contact point for her faith to be released. Jesus healed her. It wasn't his garment that healed her, right? I think we're all in agreement on that. In fact, I truly believe this woman knew what Malachi 4:2 said, and she believed it. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. The Hebrew word for wings can speak of the hem or the edge of a garment. And I think this is how this woman saw it. Malachi is saying that the Messiah is going to bring healing in the hem of his garment. And she understood what the prophet had said. She believes that Jesus is the Messiah. And what does she do? Releases her faith by touching the hem of his garment. Bam, she's healed instantly. In fact, this verb, Stout says, to overshadow, he used twice in the gospel of overshadowing of God's presence. It wasn't Peter's shadow. It was God's presence that healed the people. In fact, we see it in Luke 1:35, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. That's the same word. So Peter's shadow did not heal, but the power of the highest, the power of God, did. Now, things are going good, right? Well, when things are going good, be ready, right? Look at verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, jealousy. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Wow. I don't think we should be surprised by this. You know, I think we usually are, but we shouldn't be. When things are happening, when you're serving God and he's moving, there's people that are going to come and stop, try to stop you, come against you. That's what we see here. God is working. Persecution begins. The apostles are locked in prison. Why? They healed people. They touched people with the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel message. That's horrible in, I guess, their minds. Who arrest them? Probably Caiaphas, the high priest, and many of the Sadducees. They were filled with indignation, like I said. They were filled with jealousy, really. Why? Why were they jealous? Because people are following this Jesus and not us anymore. We're so sad. It's all about me. No, it's about the Lord. And that's what they were supposed to be leading people to, right? It's to the true and living God. But no, it was to them. Proverbs 27:4 says, wrath is cruel and anger a torrent, but who is able to stand before jealousy? Wow. Yeah, wrath is bad and anger is bad, but jealousy is worse because it keeps gnawing away at a person until it consumes them. And remember the brothers of Joseph. They sold him into slavery because they were jealous of him. You know, their father loved Joseph more, gave him a coat of many colors. They didn't like him. They threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery, because they were jealous of him. And in Mark 15:10, listen to what caused the Jewish religious leaders to send Jesus to the cross. For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy, because of jealousy. Make no mistake about it, guys. When you are living for the Lord, when you're serving him, there are going to be people who come against you. There are going to be people who try and put you down. You know, I told you before, when I first came up here almost 23 years ago, getting close, the first week I was here, there was a letter on the door of the church. It was like a 13-page letter telling me why I shouldn't be the pastor of this church. Unsigned, of course. Talk about discouraging. But I knew what the Lord had called me to do. And so we have to understand, yes, all who live godly all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Absolutely. Serve the Lord. Don't let things get in the way or stop you from serving him. And there will be lots of things coming across your path. You always look to him to be the strength of your life and to guide you no matter what. Look at verse 19. But at night an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. You know, make no mistake about it, guys. The Lord has a great, great sense of humor. The Sadducees didn't believe in angels, right? Who does the Lord send to release the apostles? He sends an angel. I go down there, release them. Let's show these guys a little something. I love that. He has a sense of humor. And I guess the idea here is, do you really think locked doors is going to stop the Lord from working? That's man's ideas, but it's not going to work. And they weren't just set free. Oh, go run and hide somewhere. Protect yourself. No. Go back to the temple. Go talk about the words of life. Give them the gospel message. Share Jesus with them. No, it's nothing about healing. Healing doesn't save you. The word of God does. And that's what they're doing. All the words of this life. I like that. You know, we're not giving to people information about a future life or an afterlife or really even internal life. We're giving them life right now and to have it more abundant life, here and now. It's not for some future time. We get abundant life right now. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly, not in the future. I like that. I don't know about you, but man, what the Lord has given to me in all these years that I've been saved has been amazing. I would have never, ever, ever dreamed that I'd be doing the things that I'm doing. And doors just open up. Isn't it amazing how they do? I mean, I got to do 4 services for 2 families in a week and a half. Sharing the gospel message. God opens doors. Am I ever going to know what happened to all those people that heard the gospel? I don't need to. It's not my responsibility. I've given it to God. My responsibility is to sow the seeds. And that's what I did. Opportunities. And that life is found in Jesus. And that's what this angel told the apostles. Go tell them about life, man. The life that's found in Jesus is exciting. Verse 21, and when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together, or the Sanhedrin together, with all the elders of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in prison, they returned and reported, saying, indeed, we found the prison shut securely, and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. You gotta love the Lord, man. That's hilarious. You know, Peter and the other disciples, except for John, were fearful to even watch their Lord be crucified. They were terrified. Now, after they're arrested and this angel sets them free, they go to the temple and they give the gospel. They're not afraid. It wasn't some isolated place, some back alley where all the people gathered. That's boldness. That's the power of God working in them and through them. That's what Jesus said in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And as we're going to see, they filled Jerusalem with the things of Christ. It wasn't by their strength, their power, their programs, their intellect. It was the power of God's Spirit coming upon their lives and moving the gospel message forward. Why did they do this? Because they were following God. They were listening to the Lord. You know, when they were threatened by the religious leaders not to speak any further of Jesus back in Acts chapter 4, they said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. The Sanhedrin had to be shaking their head at this one. You know, they go to get these men, they call for the guards to bring them out from the prison. The doors are locked, the guards are all there, right? There's no windows for them to escape. They open the door, where'd they go? It's kind of like, where's Waldo? I don't know where he's at. Imagine going tell, you know, the high priest, I don't know what happened, man. The doors are locked, the guards are at the door. They're not in there anymore. Did any one of the Sanhedrin think maybe God set them free? I don't think that was in their minds at all. Look at verse 24. Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. Then one came and told them, saying, look, The men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. They had enough of a problem with these followers of Jesus spreading this good news. And now, look at what's going on. It's growing leaps and bounds.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.